prophet Jeremiah grew up too fast. Called by God to prophesy when he was just a boy, Jeremiah would miss out on the lightness and the innocence that we typically associate with a happy childhood. Receiving the word of the Lord is surely a blessing, but it's also a burden. Jeremiah's burden would be twofold. First, there was the burden of the word itself. God did not greet the young boy with good tidings of great joy. God's first words to Jeremiah were terrifying. His home and his people were to undergo calamity that no one could imagine. And worse, they deserved it. Jeremiah's perspective was no longer that of a boy. He was a prophet now. Now, the prophet's viewpoint is cleared of all illusions, childlike or otherwise. So when Jeremiah looked to the royal courts and to the priests, he would now recognize them as God panderers, not God followers. When he looked down the streets of his hometown, he would now imagine them filled with violent enemy armies. And when he looked to his family and to his friends, he would now wonder which of them, if any, would survive the coming days. They would say, "Peace, peace." But he would know with every fiber of his being that there was no peace. But that's not all. His burden is twofold. Not only would Jeremiah bear the weight of God's word, but he would deliver it to hardened hearts and closed ears. He would not be thanked or praised for delivering God's warnings to the people. He would be scorned and mocked for it. All this child wanted to do was to please his God and save his beloved people. But his people wouldn't hear it. He was stuck with an impossible task. Why? Why wouldn't they listen? Could they really not see what they were doing was wrong? Couldn't they see the signs? Suffering was already taking place all around them. Could they not see the plight of the poor, the widow, the orphan, the immigrant, all those who God had commanded them to love? How could they be so short-sighted, so arrogant, so heartless, so... So we encounter a prophet who is weary. Weary, he says, of holding it all in. Now, at this point in Scripture, God has not yet dispensed their wrath on the people of Israel, but is poised to strike. Imagine a slingshot pulled back all the way to its limit, but not loosed. If you were to try to keep this slingshot in the state of tension, you would quickly tire yourself out. The energy gathered up would have to be released somewhere, or you would spend up your energy instead. And Jeremiah was spent, because in receiving the word of the Lord, he also took on some of God's unreleased wrath. So burdened by the knowledge of the imminent tragedy, burdened by the scorn of his people, and now a third burden, the wrath of God himself. Jeremiah cries out under the pressure of it all. "I am full of the wrath of the Lord, and I am weary of holding it in." Now, I imagine that Jeremiah grasped the harsh irony that his sweet release from holding on to God's wrath would only come when God finally loosed the slingshot, when his people would finally be punished. But no, Scripture tells us that God tells Jeremiah to lighten his burden then and there. He says, "Pour it out, for you will not carry this. I, not you, will stretch out my hand against the inhabitants of the land. So pour out your tears for the oppressed. Grieve for your people, but don't carry my wrath and my anger on behalf of me. This is for me to hold, and not even you, my most favored prophet, can carry it all." There's a lot to be angry about these days, isn't there, church? If you wanted to, you could pick up your phone, turn on the TV, and spend all day being angry at the hard-hearted and the power-hungry. If you get tired of that, you could spend the next day being angry on behalf of those who suffer at the hard-hearted and the power-hungry. But the problem is that anger is as tempting as it is hard to bear. Outrage makes us feel connected to the problems at hand and morally superior over it all. It makes us feel like we have control over something in a world that continues to spin out of control with grief and suffering. But righteous anger alone does not solve the injustices that make us angry in the first place. Anger that leads to righteous action, now that's a different story. But too many of us get bogged down in the outrage, and that's by design. And if we aren't careful with our anger, it will obscure any meaningful path forward. So, what then? How can we contest the seemingly uncontestable powers that be? God points us to something beneath the surface of our anger that can still be useful. Our grief. Under the polite masks we wear every day to maintain the facade of normalcy, there are angry people. And within these angry people are hearts that are holding so much grief and hurt. Too many of us, like Jeremiah, have grown up too fast. And from too early, we have seen the world's illusions for what they are and have borne witness to the unspeakable things that they hide. It hurts. It hurts. But we aren't meant to hold all of this under a mask, church. God is calling us to pour it out. Pour out your wrath and reclaim your grief. Even though our culture does not honor it, even though it sets limits on how, when, and where we can bare our hearts, anything outside those bounds is labeled weakness, or if you were born into a female body, hysterics. But Jeremiah is commonly known as the weeping prophet. And yet he is named among the major prophets of the Hebrew Bible. His tears fall along the ancient paths where the good way lies, the same paths that we are meant to seek out and follow. Jeremiah's legacy can teach us that grief is a power to be wielded, not a weakness to hide away. So pour it out. Drop the mask and let the tears fall with it. Because grief challenges the false narrative of normalcy under oppression. Oppressors thrive when we put on a brave face. And a sense of normalcy empowers oppressors to push the limits of their immorality, testing how much we can take. But when we sit in our grief, and when we share it openly with our families and with our neighbors, and when we use it to fuel our acts of resistance, we declare that this is not normal, and that we will not just sit by and take it. No. Outrage is easy. It's what they want us to feel. They want our wrath to chip away at us slowly, but we will go deeper. Trust in God's justice and surrender your wrath to God. They'll hold on to it for you. For now, hold your grief in a tender embrace and let it guide you to action. Grief will teach us just how much we care about each other and just how far we have to go until we're all cared for. So count each tear as sacred, for they carry the power of the prophets, the power to contest empire, and the power of a love too deep for words. Pour it out, church. God's justice is surely on the way. Thanks be to God.